Gentlemen, good evening, Aboisa. Good evening, Aboisa. Firstly, and most importantly, I'd like to thank Reb Gideon for yesterday pointing out. I did not have sufficient time, but a little bit of time to look into it. There's a fantastic sefer, by the way, which I use very frequently. If anyone's interested in, it's a fantastic sefer. It's called Chinuch Habonim Tichose. It's a fantastic sefer. It's a Yidden in Eretz-Yisrael called Rabinovitz, who has written two volumes on halachas of Chinuch. It's very interesting. So everything relating to children up to Bar Mitzvah, it's really fascinating. It goes to Shulchan Aruch, starting from Nigel Wasser, what about children? Then Tzitzis, what about children? Tzvelen, etc., etc. It goes to the whole, it's really interesting. So he discusses his, pardon?
With the teenagers, you just chat
around. Yeah, that's it. So it's very interesting. So he does, there was two Mama Kohen, which I felt was very, very interesting, and I looked into it. But prior to do so, I wanted to share with you a fantastic story, which I read in a sefer, and I wanted to share it with you. I think it's a really, really nice story. Reb Issa Zalman Meltzer, the Rosh Yeshiva of Etz Chaim in Yerushalayim, before that, he was in, I believe, Slutsk. Always confused. I think it was Slutsk. And he was one of the Goyne Ador. He moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he was after the war, he was already in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. Famously, Reb Issa Zalman is a Shver of Rabban Kotler, and thereby a grandfather of Shnei Kotler and Malkiel Kotler, the Lakewood dynasty, are descendants of the Meltz, Rabbi Zalman, as well as from other sides. Well, there's okay. So the Zalman wrote a sefer called Evan or Ezel, which is on the Rambam. It's a very complex and complicated sefer, not so directly Aloch Lemaise. It's much more into learning the sugis beiyun according to Rambam. It's very, very, very deep a sefer. He wrote the sefer, and he was about to print it and publish it. And there was one particular evening. He's studying one of the sugyas and everything, this was during the war in the Pens. I forgot to mention that during the war in the Pens, 1947, 1948, where there was a curfew in the evening, people had to self isolate in the evening, not to go out because of the war. It was dangerous. People weren't allowed to go out of the house. It was dangerous during night time. Suddenly, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer had three nephews in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. Each of them became, in future years, Rosh Yeshivas in their own right in Slavotka. One was a Pratz Kalsana, was a nephew. One of his Aaron Cohen was a Pratz Kalsana, Aaron Cohen, and the last one being, no, it was yes, but I'm talking about Yerushalayim. Pratzkel, and one more. I've not forgotten. Three nephews in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, and he goes knocking on Rav Cohen's door, who was a young, learning, Talmid Chacham, budding, a younger man. He knocks in the middle of the night, he opens the door, he says, oh, what's going on here? I'm scared. He was even concerned. And perhaps it's a British mandate soldier that don't speak English. What's going to be? He opens the door and he sees, who does he see? Lo and behold, he sees his uncle opening up the door. And he says, Shiva, the uncle, what are you doing here? He says, I have a problem. I'm about to publish a sefer. I actually need to give it to the printers tomorrow. And I know I have a question which I don't have. I don't have an answer to that in the Rambam. Maybe we can choose it through learning. He was so impressed. Wow, on the Sakonas and the Foshas, he's going. And he's going out in the night, and they discuss the sugya together and everything, and they come to the whole night. They're learning through until they come to an answer. The nephew helps him with an answer, and he says, "Wow, that's amazing." He says, "Okay, I'm going to go back home now." So Rabbi Zalman says, "You're going to go?" Back. He says, "No, you can't go. It's dangerous." He says, "No, I need to write it down. You can write it down here until it's light." "No, I need my own pad, my notepad. I need to go home." And he insists on going home. He goes home, and that's what he believes the end of the story. The sefer is. The sefer is published, and a few years later, Rabbi Zalman is nifta. The nephew of Cohen goes to the shiva, and here's the fantastic part of the story. He goes to the shiva of the Rebbetzin, the wife of Rabbi Zalman was called Beila Hinder. She was a big tzaddikas. Many stories about Beila Hinder. She was the wife of Rabbi Zalman, very famous tzaddikas. And he says, "Auntie, I want to just tell you this story. Do you remember that not so long time, during the war, the Avos HaTorah of the uncle was incredible. He came in the night, he had a question and everything." And Belinda says, "It's not the story. That is not so. You got completely wrong end of the stick. That's not what happened." "What do you mean?" "I saw it. He came in the middle of the night. because he had a kash on the Rambam. He wanted to discuss it with me. And we came, we learned the whole night, and we came with a solution. And he said, that's not the story. He said, I know that, that's what happened. I know. And look, in, you can even look in the sefer of Evan Edge, like, look, there's that discussion over there, and you can see my name is mentioned. I said, he says, you don't understand, that's not what happened. So he says, I'll tell you, my dear nephew, I'll tell you what happened. The day before, I was discussing with Islam and my husband, I was discussing, and he was telling me that he's about to give the sefer to the printer the next day. He's going to print it, to publish the sefer. But he said he noticed that he's got three nephews, local nephews, and two of them are mentioned in the sefer, but you, the third one, is not mentioned in the sefer. And I was, and the Islam was really bothered about this. He said, how can I publish a sefer? Some of our nephews are mentioned, some are not. So he said, and I told my husband, says Ibn, I told my husband that you can't, it doesn't matter, he'll be, you know, it doesn't matter, he's a younger man, it doesn't, you don't have to mention it, mentioning him in the sefer, it doesn't matter. He said, no, insist. He said, I've got to go and have something in his name in my sefer. I must have something. But he said, not relevant, you know, you're publishing the sefer tomorrow, you've got to print this, you can't. No, I'm going now, I'm going to, but it's the middle of the night, curfew, everything. I'm going now, I'm going to discuss something with him until he comes with his own vault. He's going to come up with some chiddush, which I can then print in the sefer. And he packed his bag and he went up and he pretended he had a kasha, which wasn't even a kasha because he had long thought of the answer himself. He discussed it until his nephew had a teretz. He brought it back and he put in the sefer in his name in order to ensure that he's mentioned on the sefer. Everything else, it's a beautiful story. Yeah, okay. Good, okay. Now, in terms of tzitzis by cotton. I didn't have in as much time as I wanted to look into Gideon's question, but what I saw a tshuva by Moshe Feinstein, which addresses exactly your point, and I also saw a quotation of Shlomo Zalman, which also helps us. The following is true to be said. Anybody from Bar Mitzvah onward has got a sheer tzitzis of what we call the full sheer, which is Amal Amo. As we pointed out yesterday, the shear for an adult over Bar Mitzvah, Amo, means that the front needs to have an Amo on Amo, the back also an Amo. Amo, you probably should discount the hole where the head goes through, should probably be discounted and not part of the cheshbon. Again, as I mentioned yesterday, many tzitzis out there in the shops don't have a full Amo. If a person is far larger than that, he could still probably be yotze with a talus of that shear.
What about Schnitz?
Oh, very good. Yeah, so Bar Mitzvah boy certainly should have that shear. You probably should have that shear. Now, if you're talking about a child who is Gia Lechinuch, what do we say Gia Lechinuch? What age do we say is that?
Six.
I think a bit older than that. For tzitzis, they say it's a bit bigger than that, a bit older than that. They say probably, let's say 8 years old, something like that. That's what they say. Mishnah says Ben Tess. That's what Mishnah says. Here, the halacha is as follows. He doesn't have to have a full shear, but he needs to have something which covers the majority of his own body, depending on his own personal size. That is his shear. So if he wears something which is disproportionate, which is very small, he actually was not fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis. It's got to be the roish shoy verubay of his stomach, of his body. What did you call it yesterday? Torso, yeah. No, roish shoy verubay means that his... Yeah, I know, but I'm not quite sure, yeah. So now, the question here is, which is very common, what, and Moshe has a full tshuva about that, I think that's what you asked. So 1 second here, if you've got a 9 or 10 year old child who has got a tzitzis, but it's not fully the shear, it's a bit small, it looks a bit small, which is, I don't know if you've ever been if you've been in a year 5 or year 6, you'll frequently see that the boys' tzitzis are very small. And yet, they make brachas, yet we encourage them to make brachas. How does that work? And the Moshe is precisely the question that Moshe Feinstein addresses in Igros Moshe. He says, 1 second, it doesn't seem to be necessarily, it's a problem. It's a problem, how does that, you know, often they're not roisha verupoi. And Moshe Feinstein says, certainly it's not great, but b'dyevet he says as follows. He says, we find by Dalet Minim, that's his Moshe Feinstein's Gaonis, it's the classic Moshe Feinstein. He says, what do we find by Dalet Minim of a child? What's the halacha? Very good. So in principle, we all know, you've got to fulfill the mitzvah with Lochem, with your own Dalet Minim. What happens if you take a borrowed, literally a borrowed Dalet Minim? Can you be Yotze as an adult, yes or no? No, you've got to be koinet. Lachem. What about a child? What about a child? 10-year-old. What do you do with it? What do you do with them? How do they fulfill the mitzvah? Can't give it to them because they can't give it back to you. So how does a classic question? Tens of thousands of yidden every single year, perhaps hundreds of thousands of yidden. What happens then? What do you do? So the halacha is, I mean, there's 9 approaches, but the general halacha is, you can still give it to them, and they'll still be yotze, because shoal, a cotton, shegel a chinuch shoal, doesn't matter. Although a borrowed for an adult is no good, shegel a chinuch, it's okay. Still a kosher set, but that aspect of shoal, it doesn't need to apply to a shegel a chinuch. So therefore, and that's the halacha psuka. Therefore, what's the therefore, Rabbi Moshe? When it comes to tzitzis, we can similarly say that what? You can make a bracha despite the fact that not only borrowed. Even if it goes further than that, even if the shear is not a full shear, it's not Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, very good. So that's pretty much what he asked. They say from Moshe Feinstein. He says the comparison is not glatt. But I'm just quoting Moshe for this point. Moshe says, Shoal by Gia Lechinuch works. So you don't have to be meticulous about every point. So similarly also, if the tzitzis of a Gia Lechinuch is not exactly the right size, it's still okay, you can make a broch on it. He's not so convinced about it, but he said it's good enough. But what's just as relevant, perhaps even more relevant, but easier to answer, is what if the child is on the Chinuch? An 8-year-old boy, a 7-year-old boy, a 6-year-old boy, what is the right? What do we do with them? Do they need a Rosh Verubai or not? Three years old, that's what he said. So Shlomo Zalman he doesn't address this point, Moshe doesn't, but Shlomo Zalman says, so should you, what do we mean? It's impossible to find, you're going to find. Yeah, most of them are not kosher tzitzis. Shlomo Zalman says most tzitzis of 3, 4, 5 years, they're not kosher. Both the size, sometimes the chutin is not good. What do we do with them? And you don't tell them to make brachas. So Shlomo Zalman says, of course you do. Of course you do. They're not yigil echinuch. So whatever happens. They're not yigil echinuch. So it's just like I don't like the word symbolic. What's the word? It's just what's the word?
Ceremonious.
A nice thing. Yeah, I call it a nice thing. It's just a nice thing. So everything you do is good. It's nice. Very good. Yeah, you can't ask them to do brachas on something which, no. Say, don't worry about it. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Get them used to it. Let them enjoy it. Put a nice tractor in the front. Put a nice train in the front. Very nice. And everything. He says that it doesn't. Shem Zaman strongly encourages, despite the fact that the tzitzis may not be rigidly speaking kosher. That's what it's a big chiddush because you can't do that with moir. Don't tell them to think about. You know, if they can't do the mitzvah, they don't matzah. It's a big chiddush, but that's what Shlomo Zalman is quoting and saying, and that's what we want to share with you. Okay. Pardon? No. So he's not bothered about this. I also would have, you know, had the same concern. And I've also mentioned yesterday. You know, how can you make them say brach something which is not shir? He said Shlomo Zalman said it's okay. We wanted to get used to the mitzvahs, get used to brachas. So although in other areas you don't necessarily say that, but in terms of mitzvah tzitzis when it's not the right shir, Shlomo Zalman says just relax. It's okay. Just get them used to it, and everything it will be all right. It's a big chiddush because I'll tell you, Shlomo Zalman himself points out it's a massive chiddush. Why is it an extraordinary chiddush? It's an extraordinary chiddush because in terms of tzitzis, do they need to wear tzitzis? They don't. Why not? Don't put on them a four-cornered garment and they want you to wear tzitzis and they want you to make a bracha. So it's all like, it's really not, there's no need for it. But yet, Shlomo Zalman says, let them. Hegel, I think that's the word that he uses. I'm just going to quote you of Shlomo Zalman because he quotes him over here. I think it's the best thing. By the way, Mishnebuah later, in Simi Yudzayin, says explicitly not like that. It doesn't seem to be like in line with the Mishnebuah. I'm going to point it out when we get there. But that's what Shlomo Zalman says. Shlomo Zalman says, Taka checked it up himself, but he's quoting it over here. We are mechanech the children 3 or 4 years old. That's your point about the bracha to make a bracha on the tzitz. Even if you know for a fact these tzitzis are possible, yet you can ask them to make brachas on it. You said you don't stop them. That's what he says. Yeah. And he brings Avozna, also says the same thing. Okay, and then that's in terms of on the chinuch. When it comes to a gilah chinuch, it's a bit harder to justify.
Elements
that need a shiur. It might not be like that. It's often not going to be like that. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, it's just.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a long discussion. It's a long discussion, and it's a problem of Asi Lemisrich as well. All right, okay, fine. Okay, does that Rebbe Gideon? Does that answer the minute? Okay, Rabbi Yisai, Simon Yud Zayim Yem Chayovim Mitzitzes. Who is obligated in the mitzvahs? Tzitzes, and this is what the Shulchan Aruch tells us. Although, despite the fact that it says or Yisem Oisel, you should see it, that would have implied that blind people are potter. Nevertheless. Suma, a blind person, chai b'tzitzis, obligated mitzvah tzitzis. Why? Mipneishin Yisrael, because it's true, it appears to be excluding blind when it says, Reisimoiso, but they are included again by the words of Mipneishin Yisrael, me'asher techasebo. Pasuk says later, asher, that techasebo you'll be covered with. So, it seems to include blind people. Ah, you're going to say, what about Reisimoiso? The pasuk of Reisimoisoi is not excluding the blind. On the contrary, what it means is it's coming to exclude Ksus Laila. Reisimoisoi is actually referring to a time that any garment which is not seen, not because of a person's visual problems, but because of the time of the day that people wear it, such as Ksus Laila, night garments, are excluded. So the exclusion is not because of a person may be visually impaired. No, but it's what it's coming to exclude is ksus laila. Anything that is worn by night is not chayv betzitzis, such as pajamas. Pajamas chayv. So if a person wears pajamas midday, which we all do, you know. So what happens then? What we're seeing so far, we're going to see machlokes about it. But what we're seeing at this stage is that ksus lailo night garments is exempted. Some people are going to say, "Hey, pajamas is not night garments." Excuse me, you know. So ksus lailo is exempt from ksus lailo. Anything that is designated for night garments is excluded because it says ureisem oisoy. You can't normally see it. Good. That is a discussion. We'll get to that by Ezra Hashem, but not tonight. Yes. Good. Yeah. That's good to do with it. We'll get to that by Ezra Hashem. Now, this is in terms of Summa. Now, continues the Shulchan Aruch in Tziv Beis with regards to this is about Buria. Who was Buria? And what did she do? Did she wear tzitzis? Noshim ve'avadim pturim. Women and slaves are exempt from tzitzis. Why? Mipnei she'mitzvah zeh shezman gomer, because it's a mitzvah shezman gomer, it's time bound. Why is it time bound? Yeah. Mikol mokim, nevertheless. So women are exempt, right? So far, so good. Then women are exempt because it's time bound, just as slaves are exempt as well. Mikol mokim, v'oitzim le'otfoy, if women wish. If they fancy putting on a nice talus, they're allowed to do so. Like any other time-bound mitzvahs. Okay, do our wives make leisha v'sukkah? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Not tzfadim, yeah, not tzfadim. But do the Ashkenazish women? Yeah, leisha, pardon?
Not
tzans and not chsam sofer. All right, okay. But do they do time bound mitzvahs? Do they eat matzahs? No. Yeah. Do they make a broch on it? No. Yeah. Do they do talit minim a little bit? Okay. But generally, we find women doing mitzvahs in shman gomer despite the fact that really time bound mitzvahs are exempt. So why don't we see many of our wives putting on tzitzis? It's time bound. It doesn't go with the dress. Oh, I see, right. Why don't they put on tzitzis?
I think it's associated with
masculinity, like.
Why? Yeah, all right. So that's why they're really exempt, but they can still. Why can't they put on? Why? Nowadays it is. Nowadays it is. But. Initially, at the initial stage, certainly not. Now, probably yes, at this stage of the game. But initially, they can do time by mitzvahs. Rabbi Yisrael Ramo answers that. Ach mechzik yehura. The reason is a fascinating Ramo. It's mechzik yehura means that it appears as if it's a certain word. Mechzik yehura, it's arrogant. Why is he arrogant? Why is he arrogant? Why is he arrogant? What's the element of arrogance?
They want to show, look how holy I am.
But when it comes to matzahs and sukkah, and when it comes to dalet minim, when it comes to moroir, they are in the game. Yeah. Pardon?
Out of the house.
Okay, let's think of any other time-bound mitzvahs they may do which is out of the house. Yeah, shofar, megillah. Okay, Megillah is a bit different again, but we find him doing time-bound mitzvahs out of the house as well.
Is this the case of if they would... They're not obligated to do it.
Correct.
If they do it, do they get scarred?
Absolutely.
They do, but
Bear with me. Bear with me because because the Ramah really addresses this point. In other words, we find any other time-bound mitzvahs women do, if they wish, they make brachas on it, according to the Ramah. And it's totally fine. Over here we are finding, no, hold on a sec. Wait. If they do it over here, it's mechzikur, it appears arrogant. It appears arrogant. If women do it, it appears arrogant. Why? What's the difference? The answer is as follows. The Ramah explains, L'chein en l'lbosh, this is hoil ve'enoi choy vas gavre, perish enoi chayav liknois loitalas kideishis chayav betzitzis. When it comes to tzitzis, there's another aspect to that as well. That do we need to put on dalet? Do we need to put on tzitzis? Why not? It's only we wearing it. So we don't really need to put on anyway. We don't really need to put on, right? Now that we put on, we have to put on tzitzis. But over here, when it comes to noshim, you're talking about time about mitzvahs now, it's really arrogant. Come on, relax. Just relax. You don't have to put on dalet canvas. In the first place, if you do, I wouldn't call it a vexfaker, but it's like you are going out to make. You're making a point over here. That's exactly what you're trying to. You're making a point. You're making a point over here. You don't have to wear that. You don't have to. And if you do, you don't. It's time bound, which means that you don't have to. So you're really going that far. It seems you've got an agenda over here. An agenda. You've got an agenda over here, which we call nowadays.
Feminism.
Yeah. Feminism in our terminology. You have got it. Yeah, so it's okay, of course. You want to do mitzvah sukkah, mitzvah brachah, with pleasure. You want to do any time a mitzvah with the brachah, with pleasure. But over here, even a man doesn't have to put it on, right? You don't have to. So shine, so relax. And if you have got that, so that's why it's mechzikir, beautiful, fascinating, subtle
Ramo. If a woman actually has a four-cornered gun, like a shawl or something like that,
does she need to wear it? Even if it's the fashion, she doesn't really need to wear it, right? Well, if it's the fashion, perhaps, yes. But I'm saying, she doesn't really need to wear it. So now that she's wearing it, why? It doesn't... So that's what the... What the most...
Well, since it's on her four-corner shoe.
Yeah, but why is she putting on tzitzis?
Because
she's
anyway wearing it.
What do you mean anyway? What anyway? Nobody told her to.
Anyway.
I know, but that's not. There's no halachic reason why she's wearing it. There's nothing pushing her to wear it.
No, not halachic.
Now that she's wearing it. Right. Okay.
So since she already wears a double.
But there's no cinches anyway wearing it. It's not cinches anyway wearing it. It's you know, there is that two stitch. She doesn't have to wear it.
Is that a Mexican?
Yes, absolutely.
On that one.
Yeah, because
she's
why should
she. Put, her way to wear compass.
Right. He says,
I'm not being kind of to be kind.
Okay. Look at Mishnah Busif Cotton Hay. Women make broch on lulav. To gam kimit in tzans, they make broch on lulav. Lulav also not? Because I know Chassam Sofer didn't make on So Rav Samson didn't make on leishev, but I thought that. Okay, good. Tu chagam chavas mitzvah sishman groma. V'teir shiny och she'enu chavas gavre. The difference between lulav and talit minim is no enu chavas gavre. Shafiru ish, even when it comes to man, ein olav chiv deiraisa, he's got no Torah obligation, lik no his talis to purchase the talis. But if he's wearing, then he's got to put on tzitzis. As when it comes to lulav, yeah, so that's what he says. Okay, Rabbi Isai, I want to summarize what we learned this evening. So, we spoke again about we summarized the halachas of a tzitzis with regards to a cotton. We differentiate between a gadol, certainly amal amal. Anything under that, unkomek bracha. We learned that if it's a cotton shigia lechinuch, he's got to make sure he's got the right shir of rosh veruboy. Underneath that, and Moshe justifies why it's okay to make a bracha, but it's not. It's really the question is, it remains a little bit. He speaks about shol, etc. But it's certainly one should try to have rosh veruboy. When it comes to a child less than chinuch, in other words, less than 9 years old, do as you please and what he enjoys. Even when Shlomo Zalman says tzitzus apostle can make a bracha in it, I want to point out, just for the record, that Mishnah doesn't seem to hold like that mahalach. We're going to see later. But that's how Reb Shlomo Zalman paskens. We spoke about the halach of a blind person. Halach of a blind person is? Chai. Chai, but tzitzis bad. In fact, so reason is so, but that comes to exclude Ksus Laila, which we will be addressing in greater detail, Bezer Hashem. Still, when it comes to women, the halach is, despite the fact that it's, time bound, Mr. Zman Goma, nevertheless. So normally when it comes to time bound mitzvahs, women are allowed to do it, but in this instance over here, we strongly recommend it's even, I think you could say that it's also for them to wear, because mechsekuris appears like arrogance. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we're going to continue with Hashem tomorrow evening.